Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Homework, but it doesn't matter right now because this is Zombie Nation, and with me is my world-class, amazing, legendary co-host, Mr. Spencer Kirksey. My name is Matthew. We are both zombies from homework this week, but we are here, and we are ready to talk some MMA. So, Spencer, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Matthew, and we're not only zombies to homework, but, of course, we're zombies to MMA. But, folks, do not let Matthew fool you. He may praise me when we're on the air, but backstage, he gives me crap nonstop.
This dude, okay, let me defend myself here. I'm, like, sitting here getting ready for the show. I'm like, oh, let's get this thing going. And this guy says to me, hold on, man, I'm playing Candy Crush. So, yeah, he got a little crap from that. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I'm trying to dig into Zombie Nation here for MMA, and he's like, hold on, bro, I got to finish this Candy Crush level.
Yeah, pretty much. I was doing my research, too, as always. I have all my stuff written down, ready to go. But I had a few games to crush in.
Right. Okay. Eh, whatever, man. That's just a dying man's final words there, I guess. Anyway,
I guess.
So it is Thursday night, so that means that whatever the hell we have going on, we put that crap aside. We sit back and we talk some MMA for a while. Tonight we are going to do a little bit of a shorter show, just because we've been so swamped all week. But nonetheless, we've got two phenomenal guests tonight, and we're going to discuss a lot of things, a lot of events. This past weekend, I myself covered two events. The UFC put on probably one of its best cards of the year, so we are going to spend a couple minutes talking about that event. And then we'll promo some upcoming events. Florida's got a handful of events going on this weekend. And, yeah, man, so our guests. How about our guest, man? We welcome back Eric It's a Wrap Reynolds. We've had him on here once before, and then we'll talk with him for a little bit. He got his upcoming fight at XFC 27 here in December 13th up in Muskegon, Michigan. Man, XFC is going north. So we'll talk with Eric It's a Wrap Reynolds. He's fighting Joe Elmore. And then we're going to talk with Mr. Bad Mother, Bobby Bad Mother Tucker. He's got a fight this Saturday, I believe, Panama City Beach. Let me pull it up here real quick. It's Fighter Soul Promotions. Yeah, in Panama City Beach, Fighter Soul Promotions, Fear No Battle 2. He's the co-main event, and Bobby is the man. We've had him on. I think this will make the third time we've had him on, and it does not matter. This dude just brings it. This dude is awesome, and he is. It's always a pleasure to have him on here. So we're excited about that, and yeah, man, we're just going to rock it and talk some MMA. Do what we do best,
yeah,
I guess,
Bobby,
you could say.
Bobby, we could pretty much hand the show over to him when he's on. He can go on for hours talking about it, and it's entertaining stuff. That's why we
Hell
love
yeah,
having him
yeah,
on
the show. Yeah, Bobby's a good dude, man, real good fighter. Coming off a tough decision loss at Night of the Gladiators, but I know he's looking to turn that around here, and Bobby's one of the best amateurs in the Southeast, you know, coming out of Georgia. Making a little bit of a hike coming down to Florida for this fight here, but I know the fans here in Tampa Bay are wanting him back, so hoping to see him back down here in Tampa really soon. But in the meantime, like I said, he's fighting this Saturday at Fighter Soul Promotions, Fear No Battle 2 in Panama City Beach at the Boardwalk Resort. So it's just one of the great events going on this weekend in Florida. I think Spencer will probably go ahead and get back behind the scenes and give Eric a call. So in the meantime, we just want to give quick shout-outs to our great sponsors, man. We got BrawlBase.com, Crossorder Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, Intimidation Clothing, Jax Media Canada, Pro-Am Belts, Draco Sports, and, of course, Macho Fighter, and, of course, Gator MMA. I'd also like to give special shout-outs to World Class Martial Arts in Tampa. Come out to World Class Martial Arts and check out the new location on Lineball Avenue. Also, Team Darkside in Tampa. Hit up Defiant Daniel on Facebook. Look up Team Darkside. Those guys, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but Team Darkside is the absolute beast right now in Tampa, Florida. I think we got Eric ready to go, so I'm going to let Spencer go ahead and bring him in.
All righty, folks. We are live with Eric. It's a wrap. Reynolds, it's an upcoming fight at XFC 27 against Joe Elmore. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
I'm doing great.
Great, great. How's the training camp going?
It's going great. We have a lot of active guys going in the gym right now, so it's real busy and high tempo and lots of training. It's going good.
Now, your last fight wasn't too long ago, but, of course, that was only 30 seconds, a knockout in the 30 seconds of round one. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was a long trip. I had to go over to Europe and fight over in Finland against champ over there, Anton Kurchkovin. Just came out of the UFC and was, big opponent. I wasn't really expecting a quick knockout, but with the camp leading up to it, it wasn't a surprise.
Now, how did that fight come about?
It just happened. but let's get down to business. Let's get down to December 13th. That's what it's about.
Oh, yeah, man, and you fought the best in the world and the best in the world in the XFC, coming off a win at XFC 24 against Kevin Forant. How many more fights do you think you need until you get a title shot?
I feel like I'm past due, but whenever he feels ready, whenever he wants to put Scott Holtzman out there, I'm ready for it. I never back down from a fight, and I had my, scope on him for a while. His name was always in the picture, so it's no surprise if he pulls that card. I'm actually looking forward to it. I think stylistically we match up great. So I'll fight whoever he puts in front of me, and glad to serve that shot.
Right on, man. So you're coming in on a 2-fight win streak. You won 5 out of your last 6 fights. You've been able to put together a really good streak here. Got a lot of great wins over big-time formidable opponents. What's been the key to that success, and what are you going to do to keep that moving forward?
Well, I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly growing. As a person, as a warrior, getting in the cage and everything like that. So just staying positive and keeping my diet under control and my weight down. And spending hours in the gym, it's fine-tuning up. Just everything's just fine-tuning at this point. I've been pro for, 8 years now, so it's nothing new. It's another day in the office for me. It's what I love to do.
Right on, man, absolutely. Now, you're quite the XFC vet. This is going to be your 6th XFC fight. You put together a lot of big wins with the XFC promotion, fought a lot of big guys, man. How have you felt that the XFC has helped you in the progression of your career, and how do you feel that they treat you and the other fighters on the roster?
Well, John Prisco, he's known for, treating his fighters well, and that's how he made his name for himself, and that's how he gets high-level guys to come fight for him. They treat me great. They keep me active, and it's a great promotion. They definitely know how to match them up good. And there's definitely those promotions out there that mismatch, and where XFC is not one of them. there's not an easy fight in this league. So if you want to, you know, if you want to get to the top, it's a great way. It's a, you know, XFC is a great way, you know, great opportunity in the XFC to get there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Now, and with the XFC doing a lot of expansion, getting big, really branching out, getting into new areas, and in the process of going international, how does it feel for you to be a part of the XFC during this massive, this really great expansion and great growth period for them?
It's big, and that's the direction they need to go. I've internationally before, and so it fits perfect with me. I've fought a lot of guys. If you look at my resume, you know, I fought guys from everywhere, you know, all over the planet. So it's great for me, bringing more high level competition from all over the world is only going to make XFC that much better and bigger. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Awesome, man. Now you're fighting at lightweight. What do you typically walk around at? What's your average weight you walk around?
Lightweight.
Oh, okay. So you don't really have to cut much.
No, I don't. I'm not a big cutter. I did that early on in the career, and I just never, you know, I just didn't like it, and I like to eat. So I figure if I just train hard and got the diet under control, moderation, and there's smarter ways to do things. So I walk around probably, you know, 160, 165, and fight 155. So I know guys out there cutting 20, 30 pounds. I feel like I have the advantage because I'm quicker, I'm smoother, I'm already, you know, naturally strong. So it's not like you can go in there and try to, you know, go straight for strength. I'm just gonna hit you.
Right. Now, since you brought that up, I was actually going to kind of, like, move into that, but you mentioned guys that cut, like, 20, 30 pounds to get down, you know, somebody's walking around at 180 or whatever, they're going to cut down to 155 to try and get that advantage, and then it puts their body through this, like, rapid, like, unsettledness and really just messes them up, whereas, as you said, you feel like you have an advantage, and I would agree with that statement that you're only going to cut a couple pounds because you're fighting more closer to your natural weight, and you know, how does it feel? What's your opinion on that overall, where these guys come in cutting 25, 30 pounds, and you've heard of guys dropping dead or having serious health issues because of it? Well, what's your take on that as a fighter? Is that a good or a bad thing for fighters to be doing?
I think it's a bad thing because guys got to cut all that weight to come fight 155. I mean, you know, I think that they're just scared to fight guys their own size. And I've always been the bully's bully, I guess, because I love to fight, so you got these guys come cut all that weight, and they want to come fight somebody who naturally walks around 155. Like you said, I feel I have the advantage. I'm faster. It's a matter of skills, and I bring them to the table. So, you know, I feel like I could fight a heavyweight if it came down to it. So it doesn't play any part in my game plan or anything like that. I know the guy I'm fighting December 13th is cutting a lot of weight. More power to him. Just now you're going to feel like it's just going to be actually it's better for me because he's going to feel like crap, and then when he gets beat up, he's even going to feel like more crap, so he's going to feel like crap twice.
Well said, man. Well said. Now what do you know about your opponent, man? Joe Elmore, are you a guy who likes to watch video on your opponents, or do you leave that to the coaches?
Well, we kind of do it hand in hand. I let my coaches do more of the, you know, the stalking, I guess you want to call it that. I let them do that. I know a lot of people go on Facebook and start doing that. I'm the one that really doesn't matter as long as everything's going good in my life and I'm happy where I'm at. Doesn't matter who I'm fighting. I'm gonna go in there and do what I came there to do. But when I get the name, I like to check them out just to see, you know, what I'm dealing with. But I don't go overboard because sometimes that could be a bad thing.
Right. Now your wins are fairly fairly spread out. You know, you got 7 by knockout, 6 by submission, which shows you're a very well balanced fighter. You can pretty much adapt to whatever's happening in the fight. If a guy wants to go to the ground, you can take it down. You can tap him out. If you're standing, if you're going back and forth, you've got that knockout power. What is it that you look to? Is there any specific branch or part of MMA that you look to do, or is it just kind of like if whatever your opponent makes available for you, you're trained and you're good enough to be able to take the advantage and get the win however you need to do it?
Well, I mean, you got to be able to change gears. You can't like win one way, and it's definitely, you know, you got to switch it up and be unpredictable. So I kind of go to what I feel like doing that day, to be honest. Like, you know, sometimes I see an opening with the ground, I'm going to take it. And it might be against a high-level jiu-jitsu guy, no one expected me. You know, I've done that. I fought, you know, guys in their best game and beat them. So it's not, you know, there's no pride factor for me. If I feel like I get clipped, best believe I'm going to try to take him down, and I'm going to get my wits back and go for the win. But I tend to be more, you know, I lean to the side where I want to fight to where it's exciting to watch the fight. I kind of, not that I'm in there thinking about that, but kind of I am. Like, if I'm watching the fight and it's boring, I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to talk to the person next to me. I'm going to get a beer if I was at the fight. So I'm going to fight in there like, man, these people, they came for a reason. They came to see two warriors collide. I'm going to give them that. So you can get on Team Eric Reynolds and be a fan, because there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When I come into the cage, I'm going in there for one reason only.
To win.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm going in there to give them what they want to see. I'm going to go in there and fight to make it exciting. Whether I got to pick the guy up and slam him, whether I'm going to knock him out, you know, like my last fight, like last 30 seconds, people might have been a little bit disappointed, which hurt my feelings a little bit, but I gave them what they want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for fans to be disappointed when a guy comes out and knocks somebody out like that, man. Fast pace, highlight reel knockouts are what people love to see. I don't know why people would have been disappointed, but I do want to say I was my bad on getting your record wrong. The record I was looking at had a mistake. You have 8 wins by knockout and 8 by submission, so I just wanted to correct my own mistake there.
Yeah, I keep it unpredictable. who knows who's going to be on the next one? It's going to be a knockout or it's going to be a submission? What is it going to be?
Right on, man. It shows your versatility. It shows your all-around ability, man, to come out. You're a true mixed martial artist, and a true mixed martial artist can win a fight no matter what's going on, no matter what the circumstances, and that shows your ability, your adaptiveness to what happens in the cage, man, and it shows the level of fighter that you are. So congratulations to that, man. Looking forward to seeing your fight at XFC 27, man. Before we let you go, though, want to give shout-outs to any of your sponsors or where people can find you on social media?
Yeah, you can, you know, follow me on Twitter, It's a Wrap, or, you know, get on Facebook. And, you know, I just want to give a shout-out to the XFC for giving me the opportunity, and hopefully they throw the gold shot my way. I feel like I deserve it. But like I said, it's what the fans want. So get on Team Eric Reynolds. Let's do this. Let's get the belt, because I'm going to come out there and give you guys exciting fights.
Right on, man. All right, man. Well, listen, Eric, man, thank you for joining us. Best of luck at XFC 27. Bundle up, man, because it is going to be cold as hell when you get up there in Michigan in December. So.
Yeah, and I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm a light a fire there.
Oh, yeah, shoot. You're a southern guy right out of Florida, man. So, yeah, it's going to be culture shock when you get up there. It's like below zero.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I'm going there for one reason only.
Right on, man. Well, thank you again for joining us, Eric, man. Take care. We'll be looking forward to seeing that fight, and best of luck to you.
All right, thank you. It's a wrap.
All right, man. Have a good one. And Eric, it's a wrap, Reynolds, man. I'm watching that highlight knockout, man. I don't know. He said people, fans were disappointed, man. I don't know what the hell's up with that. How are you going to be disappointed at a knockout like that, man? He hit him with a beautiful shot, went in and finished and just put the guy out cold. How can you be disappointed about that?
I don't know. I don't know how anybody could be disappointed with any of his fights. Like you said, 8 knockouts, 8 submissions. You can't get closer than that. Only 2 decisions, and I guarantee you, if you go back and watch those decisions, he was fighting his ass off the entire time. So either way, it's an exciting fight.
Yeah. I do want to address how, you know, you were asking him about some other stuff, and he's like, he called you out, man. He said, I just want to talk about XSC. So just wanted, I had to point that out, man. That was too good. That was too good.
And once again, folks, Matthew's doing this on this time live. He's mad because I corrected him backstage with the scheduling mistake.
Maybe a little bit, maybe. I trusted that Wikipedia had it correct, and I was wrong. I don't usually like to go by what SureDog has listed, but in this situation, SureDog was correct. So
hey, we joke around here. It's all fun and games. At the end of the day, we're good friends, so don't worry about it, folks. We're all right.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, let's play a little bit of an early song tonight. I got one queued up for us. It really sums up how I was feeling a couple days this week. So I think we're going to go ahead, play this first song, and then we're just going to talk for a little bit. We got about a half hour before we get Bobby Badmother Tucker on. It was kind of, you know, a little stressed out this week and was thinking about this song earlier in the week and really just wanted to kind of like drop what I was doing at work on Tuesday and just start screaming this song out. But can't really do that because I work in retail, so... here's my way of letting out that venting and just enjoy it.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked, everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact, and if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days.
Tuesday morning, I was stressed, man. I had that research paper due, and I just was like, that song was in my head, and I'm at work, and I'm just like, man, I need to get out of work, get home and get focused on this paper and get this thing over with. And that song I just played in my head all day, and, man, I just wanted to snap on somebody. So I was like, you know what, I gotta, you know what, I'm going to vent that out Thursday night on the show, play that little bitty, and just sit back and relax. So.
Yeah, man, if any fighters want some walkout songs, just listen in to Cade Zombie's radio. We have a bunch of great ideas.
Yo, and fighters walk out to the craziest music sometimes, man.
I think we talked about this before.
Yeah, well, you know, I was at two events this last weekend, and first of all, man, I swear when people walk out to that Drake song, I just want to, like, put a screwdriver through my head, man. I have so many people walking out to that freaking "We Started at the Bottom, Now We Here." And I'm like, stop, Drake. Go back to Canada. Go back to Degrassi. I'm tired of listening to you, man. So, but anyways, you're right, man. I don't think I've ever heard anybody walk out to that. It's kind of cliche, you know. It's like one of those things you'd, like, expect a fighter to walk out to it. But that's a pretty blood-pumping song, man. I feel like that's just one of those things that, like, you walk out to, and it's just, like, it gets you so psyched and stuff. I don't know, man. This last weekend I heard somebody walk out to this new girl. I think her name is Lord or Lordy. I'm not even sure the name of the song, but I'm like,
exactly,
seriously?
What you're talking about.
I'm like, these are dude fighters. Like, if it's a woman's fighter walking out to something like that, that's whatever. Women can walk out to whatever they want. But it's just weird to me when a dude's walking out to something like that. I'm just like, you know, this is, like, really psyching. Like, this is, like, bumming me out, man. What are you coming out here to this? I'm supposed to be excited?
I'm no longer excited to see you fight, exactly.
Yeah, like, I've kind of lost interest in this fight now. Yeah, man.
That is a good point, though.
Anyways, man, so let's see. Real quick, let me run down the events I covered this last weekend. Friday night, I was at RFC 29 in Tampa, Florida. Amazing pro show. The main event between Chris Barnett and Richard White ended up not happening. Kind of saw that coming, I'm not going to lie, man. This is four fights in a row. Four big-time fights in a row I just drew a blank, man. For Chris Barnett, that he's bailed out on last minute, and he's really screwed over some promotions here. So, let's be honest, man. He's an exciting guy, 7-1 fighter, young fighter with a lot ahead of him, and he's kind of running himself out of the sport, man. It's just like different things each time, but it comes down to the fact that these are big-time fights that he's being canceled last minute, you know, day of, day before and stuff, and it's just he's going to have a hard time booking shows, getting fights when he's doing stuff like that. He did that to Bellator. He did that to RFC. He did that to MFC up in Canada. It's just like, you know, promotions are only going to take that so much before they're just done with you. So, anyways, RFC 29 was an amazing night of fights. The main event ended up being my boy Dervin Lopez versus Rashawn Spencer. And let me tell you something. I'm saying it right now. Dervin Lopez is on a fast track to the UFC, hands down, without a doubt, no doubt about it. This dude is headed for big time, and I think he's going to be there. I'm going to say this right here, right now. I think he's fighting in the UFC within 2 years. He's 5-1 now as a professional, young guy. He's 5 wins, 5 finishes, right? His only loss was a close decision loss, and there's no excuses for it. You know, guy went out and put on a better fight than him that night. But when this guy comes out, man, with the exception of that fight, this guy comes out and he finishes people, and he is dangerous, Mike. Man, I can't tell you enough how dangerous this dude is. You know, he felt like he had a bad fight Friday night, but he came out and he choked out the guy in the first round, got a rear naked choke, was winning the fight up to that point anyway, so I really don't know where he was seeing what he was doing bad, but it looked like a great fight to me. So he put on a phenomenal fight. I'm excited to know this guy, and I'm excited to call him a friend of mine, and I want to follow his career for a long time to come because this dude is a badass guy, man. And he's just a great guy outside of the cage, too. And you can't ask for anything more than that in a fighter than to be dangerous and lethal inside the cage, but to be a respectful, professional man outside the cage. And he absolutely exemplifies those. So best of luck to Dervin, man. Congrats on the win, bro. I'm looking forward. I want to get down to Team Darkside and train with them sometime soon, man, because they've got a phenomenal team down there. They've got a lot of big-time fighters. They had another guy on this card making his pro debut, Alon Cruz. I was hearing a lot of things about Alon. People were telling me, you know, watch for him. Some of his teammate Marcos Briones. Marcos is a phenomenal fighter as well, and Marcos is like, I'm nothing compared to Alon, so just keep an eye on him. And you know what? Alon Cruz came out, put on a great fight. It was the opening fight of the night, him versus Brad May. Brad May, a guy I know very well. First fighter I ever interviewed was Brad May. Real cool dude. Lived local to me. And I actually got the chance to interview him there before his pro debut at RFC 27 back July of 2012. So that was the first fight of the night. And it was a unanimous decision for Alon Cruz. But I got to say, Brad May personified warrior in that fight, man. Alon Cruz was landing some vicious shots the entire fight. Brad kept moving forward. Brad was more of the aggressor, kept moving forward, kept coming at him. But Alon did some serious damage. Brad left that looking like a lumpy potato, man. I can't tell you, his face was just crazy. He posted some pictures on Facebook. I urge you to look that up because it was crazy. But you know what? He kept coming forward, and I think that was just such a great fight, man. But overall, you had some great fights on the card. Really cool. Dustin Holyko versus Jafar Fort. Now, I had Jafar Fort coming out and just destroying Dustin. Don't know much about Dustin, so no disrespect to him. But Jafar Fort Knox is just a phenomenal fighter out of Team SBMF here in St. Pete. But you know what? The opposite of that happened. Jafar came out. He hit him with a good shot that split open Dustin's face, and Dustin was pouring blood on it. I have the proof of it all over my laptop bag because when they came to the ground, Dustin's blood sprayed everywhere, and I was in the splash zone, as you would call it if you were at SeaWorld. But unfortunately, it wasn't SeaWorld, and it wasn't just some innocent water. It was his blood. So I did get the, I don't know if you want to call it privilege or what you want to call it, of being sprayed with Dustin's blood. But Dustin ends up getting a TKO finish on the ground right in front of me. It was a phenomenal finish. Jafar Fort Knox is a great fighter. I'm looking forward to seeing that guy back in the cage very soon. He represents a really good team of guys out here in St. Pete at Team SPMF. A lot of good fighters out of that school. But that was another good one. J.P. Reese was on this card. We had J.P. Reese on the show here a month or two ago. And J.P. Reese was coming in off three losses, a three-fight losing streak. And you know what? He took this fight the morning of. Billy Quarantillo's opponent backed out. J.P. Reese took this fight that morning, flew down that morning. He was here in Florida. He was on the other side of the state, so he didn't fly down. But came over that day of the fight, took this fight, came in and just beat Billy Quarantino by unanimous decision. It was a really good fight. Probably one of the best all-around fights of the night. A couple other, great fights. Ronnie Phillips, TKO victory. That's two finishes for him in a row at RFC 28 and 29, so he's on a bit of a tear. And it was just a great night of fights there at RFC 29, man. And then I had the privilege the next night. I know I'm talking here and you're probably sleeping over there, but the next night I rode down to Fort Myers to support some great guys, the D'Angelo family, big-time follower of this team and of these guys, and just very proud to support them and to be associated with the D'Angelo family. I can't tell you, man, these guys truly are a family. They got, Mike D'Angelo Sr.'s got five boys. One of them lives up in New York, and the other four down here in Florida, and they work together like a team, man, like a true family. They put on this event Saturday night. It was just a great event, a lot of great fights. Showcased some really cool things, man. You got to see some kids come out and do some grappling matches, some teenagers and some kickboxing matches, and then nine great MMA fights. So it was just a really awesome night of fights there, too. So big shout-out to D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts in Fort Myers. If you're in the Naples, Cape Coral, Fort Myers area, I urge you to check out D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts Fight Zone. Look them up online. They got a great school. They teach MMA. They teach self-defense. They've got great women's classes, great kids' classes, and they personify the ideology of what a family should be and of a family atmosphere, an absolutely amazing school. So check out D'Angelo Mixed Martial Arts in Fort Myers. That was my weekend, man. So I don't know. Let's if you want to talk. Why don't you lead us into Bellator? Once you talk into Bellator's last event, I'll sit back for a minute and let you talk Bellator.
Hey, I was taking in all the information you were giving us, Matthew. That's all. First, before we talk about Bellator, go ahead,
man. No, I'm just laughing, man. I was just gonna say, man. I get into it, and when I get to cover events such as that, I mean, I'm gonna tell you straightforward. Dervin Lopez is one of my favorite fighters, period, and that's including from UFC to backyard wrestling with my Uncle Joe and my Aunt Ethel. So that's every level of it. Dervin Lopez is one of my favorite guys in the sport, man. So I get really passionate and really into it when I get to watch him fight. That's the third time I've gotten to see him fight, and it's just awesome, man. I look forward to seeing him fight. And I hope that when he goes to the UFC, I'm really banking on him to bring me along as his pro personal media entourage, I guess you would call it. And so I'm really banking on Dervin to carry me with him there. So if he lets me down, I'm going to have to blast him. I'm going to have to put him on blast. But I don't think he's going to do that because he's a good dude. So anyways, man, I'm going to shut up and let you do this because this isn't my show. This is our show. So you go ahead, man. Talk Bellator. Talk whatever you want. And we'll chime in. We'll talk some stuff. We are doing open lines here. Let me throw that out there. We want to do open lines here for the next half hour. We're going to join we're going to join because when he comes on, it is going to be his show. He just takes over, and we love it. We love having him on here. But about 10:55 and 11 o'clock, we're going to bring on Bobby Badmother Tucker. So from now until then, we will do open lines. You got something you want to ask us? If there's anybody out there listening, feel free to call in. Say whatever you want to us, man. So that's 1-3-10-742-1799. So feel free to call in, say what you got to say. In the meantime, go ahead, dude. Go ahead and talk whatever you're going to talk, and I'll just sit back, relax. I'll chime in if you want me to, but otherwise, man, right now, this is your 15 minutes of fame, Spencer Pablo Diablo Kirksey.
Oh, man, the pressure is mounting. But I just want to say there is such thing as a local MMA in Ohio, I promise. UBC 26, I've been waiting for it for about 3 weeks now. I was supposed to cover it 3 weeks ago. It got postponed and moved to another venue. I'm not sure the inner workings with that promotion. Just something happened where they couldn't have the event back 3 weeks ago. So they're having it in 2 weeks, the UBC 26, up here in Columbus, Ohio. I will be covering that. I believe I do have an event December 7th. I'm not sure yet. Carl and I am working that out. And then over winter break, for me, no school means more MMA events. So that's happy about that. But as far as Bellator, I don't have it pulled up here. The two fights that I do want to talk about, though, of course, is the two main ones. Chet Congo earned the heavyweight tournament title. He beat Peter Graham. I believe that was by decision. And I think Peter Graham is actually a teammate of Chet Congo. I didn't know that till the very end of the fight. But Congo afterwards said he would never fight a teammate again. Maybe that's why he didn't finish the fight. I felt like a couple times he could have. And then the main event, one of the fighters up there on my list of people I really, really cannot stand, Joe Warren, got the win over Travis Marks. Marks, a pretty good opponent for Warren, gave him a fight, but Warren just out-wrestled him and then ended up knocking him out with a nasty knee. I didn't know Joe Warren actually finished fights. I thought that was just a myth. But Warren knocking out.
Jeez, landed on hard, man.
He will fight Eduardo Dantas in the future. I can't wait to see Dantas knock out Warren. But, yeah, him and Doug Marshall, man, I cannot stand either one of them in Bellator. But that's Bellator for you folks. Bellator 107 was last weekend, of course. Bellator 108 this weekend, Rampage versus Joey Beltran. And then the Battle of the Russians is the co-main event. That's for the heavyweight strap. I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names just because I'm awful at pronouncing all these foreign fighters. Alexander Volkov, I can pronounce that. And I think the other one's Vitaly Minnikov. Oh, there you go. See, I can actually pronounce them. And then, Patricio Pitbull Ferrer versus Justin Wilcox. That's the Season 9 Featherweight Tournament Final. That's the other fight I wanted to mention. And then I believe Marcus Galvo is also on the card. So Bellator 108 tomorrow night is actually going to be pretty good. It's over in New Jersey.
Right on, man. So let's get into the, UFC Fight Night 32 was pretty sick, man. Probably one of the best fight cards UFC's put on all year. And, you know, obviously we don't spend a lot of time here on UFC, but, there's enough people that cover UFC that we talk UFC because, let's be honest, we're both UFC fans. We watch the events most of the time. I haven't watched as many in the past, probably 6-8 months, as I've been so wrapped up with school and with the local stuff. But, to not be a fan of the UFC would just be silly. You know, what your views on the UFC overall is one thing, and I'm not a crazy UFC guy, but it's MMA. I love all levels of it, and you know what? I didn't get to see it live because I was at an event, but I did go back and watch the DVR because I heard how great it was, and it was phenomenal, man. What a great night of fights, and so many finishes. You're talking 11 fights and 9 finishes, man. It was just a great night of fights. A lot of really cool finishes. Let's see, the Jeremy Stephens knockout over Hani Jason was awesome. That KO head kick was awesome. And then for them to show Hendo sitting backstage getting his hands wrapped, looking impressed and really enjoying that knockout, that is priceless, man. They should make some sort of an internet meme about that crowd because just a few short hours later, an hour and a half later, Hendo goes and gets knocked out for the first time in his career. I got to say, I just, you know, I don't know. I'm choosing my words carefully here. You got a lot of people out there hating on Vitor because they say he's on stuff or whatever. He's on TRT, whatever, which, yeah, he's on TRT. Both Vitor and Hendo had TRT exemptions for this fight. So as far as I'm concerned, that argument has to be put aside because neither one of them had the advantage there. They were both on TRT. They're old. What do you expect? They're losing testosterone because they're old. So it's gonna be you know, I mean, I don't know how to word. I was having a talk with a guy at work this week, and he's like saying how the average fighter has about three or four times the testosterone level that like you or I or the average guy has, which just seems to me natural for what they're doing, what they're training. It's gonna be natural, bro. So. But, you know, it's whatever. Vitor's been on TRT for quite a while, and, he, you know, I don't see that changing. But as long as he's getting exemptions for it, then I don't understand why people are having such a problem with it. But whatever. Anyways, point is, I'm like losing my train of thought here. Point is, Vitor Hendo came out. Vitor finished him with a beautiful head kick and some punches, and it was a great fight, plain and simple.
Oh yeah, and I'm watching the GIF of it right now. Man, it was a good stoppage too. I want to say that by I think it was Dan Mergliotta, I think that was reffing that. But yeah, that was a knockout of just 117 of round one. We were talking earlier with Eric Reynolds about his knockout. This is the night of quick knockouts that we're discussing. Also,
yeah.
The Jeremy knockout, that was early on too.
Yeah, that was only 40 seconds in. That was real quick, and it was a night full of finishes, man. A lot of great finishes. And what's cool about that is when you have a main card that has a lot of finishes on it, you get to see the great finishes from the prelims that weren't televised, and there you got to see a couple. So that was pretty cool. I thought the Paulo Thiago tapping out from the knees and punches was pretty sick. That was awesome, man. Because Paulo Thiago is a pretty legit dude, and Brandon Thatch got him down and was really laying a beating on him. And Paulo wanted nothing to do with it. I think it was a knee or a kick to the midsection, which is what put him down, and then a few shots on the ground. But it was a knee to the ribs, and I really think that that's what did it because it hit like around the kidney or it hit something right on the side, and I think he was already wanting to tap from that. And then when Brandon started laying some shots down, and he was just, you know, he's like, I can't tweak this anymore. So might have sustained a pretty significant injury there. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon, both by impressive wins. And tapping out Paulo Thiago, as you mentioned, it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, the guy's on, the Brazilian national SWAT team or whatever. That's a tough guy. As well as in mixed martial arts,
yeah.
Any MMA fighter, it's going to be next to impossible to tap into strikes unless you land something perfect. And it was a knee, and it was just perfectly placed, thrown at the perfect time, and it definitely probably hurt the next couple of days.
Yeah, I don't think he was doing push-ups. let's talk real quick events going on in Florida this week. Real quick, there was a couple other events in Florida last week I didn't get out to, but Cannon Fights, New Power, took place in Jacksonville, Florida. A lot of great fights there. We got the results up. I was, you know, in contact with the promoter and stuff, and he sent me over the results. You know, I do my best when, if I can't be at an event, I still like to be in contact with the promoter and try and get the results. I still want to be able to give, the, you know, those events the proper coverage and still let them know that Madhouse is, you know, Matt shows them love and does the right thing by them, even if we can't have somebody there. So it's I love when the promoters, you know, are willing to work with me and send me over the results, and, you know, I let them know. I say, you know, as soon as whenever I can be at an event, I'll be there. But if not, you know, I still want to make sure that we're covering your events and we're giving you some good exposure for your promotion, for the fighters. I mean, all the fighters, regardless of what level they are, they all deserve to get that exposure and to have themselves known and stuff. So I like to do my best to try and do so. So Cannon Fights went down, and then Combat Night 21 back at the Roxy in Orlando, another great night of fights. Combat Night 22 is tomorrow night in Miami, Florida. And listen to this, man. They're doing such a great thing with this event. It's called Live Like Bella. It's Combat Night 22, Live Like Bella. And what they're doing is promoting and supporting a foundation for childhood cancer. Now, I'm a big advocate for it. I follow a kid named Christopher Adage that lives in Jacksonville, Florida, and I do my best to support and help him out when I can. You know, I can't do much, but I try to do everything that I can to help him and to really show support for him and his family. And so anytime I see something like this where some type of sporting event or just anything on a grand scale is helping and working in conjunction with some type of a great foundation, especially something going towards the awareness and fundraising for childhood cancer, because there's nothing more saddening in my heart than children who have to battle such things as cancer. It's just not fair, you know. Cancer's not fair no matter what, but I just feel like for kids, man, it just sucks because they don't understand what's going on, and you know, it just sucks. So Combat Night 22 is doing a really awesome thing with this. I posted it on the Facebook page, on the Cage Zombies page earlier today. You can go to the Live Like Bella website, check it out, see if there's anything that you can do to kind of help out, maybe, you know, give back or just support in any way. It would be great. So big shout out to those guys, to Mitchell Chamali, Josh Mann, and Richard Cox. Richard Cox is just about the best matchmaker in the Southeast, man. This guy is a busy, busy dude, and I got to give a big shout out to Richard because he's going to be supplying me with some results this weekend for events I can't be at, and I got a lot of appreciation for that. So big shout out to Richard Cox and Mitchell and Josh over at Combat Night for just doing a really good thing with Live Like Bella. So make sure you check that out. It's livelikebella.org. It's a really great organization that fights childhood cancer and tries to raise awareness and money for it and stuff, you know. So I'm very passionate about that stuff, so I love to see that. But, yeah, so we got four events in Florida this weekend. We have Island Fights 25, which will be up in Pensacola, Florida. It's a pro show, putting on a really good night of fights there. I know they got a heavyweight title fight up on the line, David Barfield versus Dakota Merritt. Jake Jensen, Mike Barnett, Ty Evans, John Green. And those are title fights. So that's going to be a great night of fights. Combat Night 22, as I just mentioned, that's tomorrow night. Oh, and Island Fights is tomorrow night. Combat Night 22 tomorrow night at Grand Central down in Miami, Florida. Saturday night, Fighter Soul Promotions, Fear No Battle 2 in Panama City Beach. We'll be talking to Bobby about that because he's fighting on that card. That's going to be Saturday night at the Boardwalk Resort. And then Saturday night right here in Port Richie, where you will find me, AFC MMA Fight Night 4 at the All Sports Arena in Port Richie, Florida. That'll be the first fight for Cheyenne Velismus as a MMA Madhouse-sponsored fighter. So I'm excited to get out there, get a couple pictures with her so we can put them up on the website and really promote her. She's a really exciting young fighter. I've got a lot of great things going on, and looking forward to seeing her put on a really good fight Saturday. She's going to be doing something a little different for us. Her fight shorts weren't going to come in time for this fight with the logos for all her new sponsors. So from what I hear, she will be painting or marking the Madhouse logo onto her body in some way or another. So that'll be interesting. Looking forward to just coming out and seeing her put on a great fight, and hopefully that Madhouse logo will still look good after the fight, so that when all the pictures are taken, get a nice shot of Madhouse right there, and a great shot of Cheyenne, what exciting young fighter she is. And it's going to be a great night of fights, man. This will be the fourth event for AFC MMA, and looking forward to it, man. Been putting on great fights out there, and really, it's a really cool venue to come out to and watch some fights, so it's going to be awesome.
Do all the owners of the different promotions down there just decide to have events on the same weekend?
No, it's not that. It's just there's – man, I wish – this is a big topic. There are promoters down here who do try and target other events and have their events on that same weekend to try and compete and to try and cause issues, which it does typically cause issues. There's only a few out there like that. For the most part, a lot of the promoters try and work together to not schedule on the same weekend. But the thing is, with these four events, they're so spread out that none of these events are conflicting with each other. Because you got, you know, Saturday night here in Port Richie and then Saturday night in Panama City Beach. These places are about 6 hours apart. So you're not really hitting the same demographic. Actually, I think it's even more farther apart than that. You're not really hitting the same demographic there. You're two totally different markets. So they're not really affecting each other at all. And then Combat Night on Friday in Miami and Island Fights in Pensacola. I mean, those are two opposite ends of the state. So as for what you're saying, yes, sometimes these guys will put on events the same weekend or the same day in kind of the same market to try and compete. But in this situation, these events are all so spread out that there's not going to be any competition between the two, really, because they're just in completely different parts. So this is a big state, dude. So there's a lot to cover here, and there's a lot going on, and it's really spread out. So if I had teleportation, I would be at more of these events. But this is a huge state, and there's a lot of great MMA here, and it's really spread out. So in this situation, they're not really conflicting with each other because they're at opposite ends of the state for the most part. But sometimes we do have those issues, and being part of some of these Florida MMA groups on Facebook, you kind of get to see the arguments that go on between promoters and stuff, and I stay out of it. I kind of just sit back and read it, but it's interesting. I wish everybody could work together, but you're talking capitalism, consumerism, and that breeds competition. So it is what it is, but it makes for a lot of great MMA here in Florida. So
I was just gonna say, it makes for the more competition makes for better fighters, better shows, so the fans win.
Yeah. So let's see. We got a few more minutes before we get Bobby Tucker. So let's do this UFC 167 card real quick. UFC 167 this Saturday. In Las Vegas. That's right. Grand Garden Arena, MGM Grand. Man, what a beautiful place that was. I loved getting to see that place when I was there in Vegas. But this will be the first fight in a while for GSP outside of Canada, I believe. So
yeah, that's interesting. I was just actually talking about that. I think it was like last week when I was watching I think it was Fight Night. I was watching Fight Night with my girlfriend, and I was just telling her, yeah, GSP seems like he's been fighting in Canada forever, and this one's in Vegas. So, and I don't believe that's going to play a huge factor, but just an interesting note.
Yeah. Well, I think, do you think that's going to play into how the fight goes, or do you think that regardless of where the fight's at, it's going to be the same fight? How do you think the fight's going to go, I guess, is where I'll start.
Oh, man, I have reasons for wanting both of them to win. Of course, that's cliche. Oh, I don't care. But I want Johnny Hendricks to win. I feel like GSP is going to win, and I don't feel like Vegas played a factor at all. I think GSP is good enough, no matter where he fights in the world, it won't bother him. Whether the fans are on his side, whether they're against him, I think he's just going to come out, and that's just the level he's on. There's a certain level in the sport where no matter where you're fighting, no matter the stakes, anything, it's the same. So Johnny Hendricks is going to have a tough time. A lot of people are saying he's going to win. Of course, he has the tools to defeat GSP. But then again, so did Carlos Condit. So did the past people. So we'll see. And, I mean, the rest of the fight card.
So did Jake Shields.
well, not Jake Shields. I don't know why that was a fight.
Yo, that was the largest amount of sarcasm I could fit into one statement, dude.
Jake Shields.
Yeah, that Jake Shields
Martin
thing was a joke, dude. I can't tell you. I kept saying, like, people, you really think Jake Shields is gonna beat GSP? Jake Shields is undefeated in this amount of time and blah 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 blah. I'm sorry, man. Jake Shields was just thing. I thought that was the worst. Like, I just thought that was like the worst performance I've ever seen. He looked like Dominic Cruz out there. And I just, as ineffectiveness, although Dominic Cruz wins his fights, it frustrates the hell out of me. But I think Dominic Cruz is my Joe Warren.
Oh, really? Well,
but,
well then.
So,
yeah, but,
I don't know.
I feel like GSP's going to win it. I want Hendricks to pull off a upset, if you want to call it that. I think because this is such a big main event, people aren't paying attention to the rest of the card. I mean, Robbie Lawler, I would love to see him knock out Rory McDonald. That's going to be a great fight either way. Rashad Evans versus Chael Sonnen, that'll be interesting. Josh Koscheck versus Tyrone Woodley. And then the opening fight, Ali Bogatinov versus Kim Elliott flyweight matchup, great way to open the fight card. And then the prelims. I want to go all the way down to the bottom of the prelims and say Sergio Pettis versus Will Campuzano. Will's coming back to the UFC. I believe he fought a couple times. I want to say it was a Legacy Fighting Championship. I think that's where he fought. He's coming back, but of course Sergio Pettis, the younger brother Anthony Pettis, and I believe he's going to make a run at bantamweight.
UFC debut for Sergio Pettis. It's a big fight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
I think it'll be a good fight.
Yeah. I'll give a quick rundown before we jump in with Bobby Tucker here. But first and foremost, I just hope Josh Koscheck gets knocked out. I want GSP to win, but ultimately the most important thing for me on this fight is to watch Koscheck get knocked out, because I love to watch Koscheck get knocked out. I don't like Josh Koscheck, so I want him to get knocked out. I think I made that pretty evident, right? I want him to get knocked out. Other than that, Rory McDonald, Robbie Lawler, I think that's gonna be a pretty awesome fight. This Rashad Evans, Chael Sonnen, man, I'm kind of torn here. Like, I don't know, like, I don't like Rashad all that much. I won't say I dislike him, but I'm not a big fan. But at the same time, do I want to see Chael Sonnen win? Like, I don't know. I think I just want to see a really good fight between these two guys. And one of them get finished, and I really don't care how it goes either way. So, you know, Chael's coming off of a pretty legit submission over a Shogun, and Rashad Evans is been very busy with the Black Zillions, coming off of a split decision win over Hendo, and four straight decision fights. So he's got to get something together there to start getting exciting again. He's kind of been boring, but. Other than that, I'm looking at Sergio Pettis' debut. I think that's going to be a big one. That's mostly it I'm looking forward to. I just really want to see Koscheck get knocked out.
Hey, I just want to add something in with Chael Sonnen. I'm pretty sure his mindset was, these super fights aren't going to happen, so I'm just going to fight all of them.
Yeah. He talked himself into three title fights, and I think he kind of ran that card out there. I think he was, running his mouth into title fights. I think it ran its route. It was it. So, two or three straight title fights, or three out of five title fights, or whatever it was, and it was just like, come on, guy. Yeah, I mean, out of five fights, three of them were titles, and they were all losses. After the first title fight, when you lose it, how are you back in a title fight just a couple wins later? Like, two wins later. I'm sorry, UFC, but when a guy loses a title fight, he kind of needs to put together more than two wins in a row to get back into a title fight. You got to have some sort of a ranking system, like a legit ranking system. But I don't know, man. That's whatever. That's where the UFC gets me, man. They just, you come off one, two good wins, and hey, title fight. We can put you back in against a title fight. And it's just like, come on, man. Make him earn it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's something else I want to talk about later after we get Bobby on. Jones versus Teixeira, which is supposed to happen, and gets canceled. They announce it again, and then it gets canceled yet again.
Canceled.
So we'll talk about that later. I'm going to jump behind the scenes and get Bobby on.
Yeah, sweet. I'm going to play some sponsors. So here we go.
Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong. Rigid. Unyielding. Get Cast Iron Strong.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success.
At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
All right, we are back, and we are joined by Bobby Bad Mother Tucker. Mr. Tucker, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, great, man. I'm ready to fight. I'm hungry. Actually, no, I'm not doing great. I'm hungry. I'm, like, stupid hungry. I'm ready for these weigh-ins to be over.
When are weigh-ins?
Weigh-ins will be at 4:30 tomorrow at the venue, and the mock weigh-ins will actually be at the Hooters in Panama City. So that's a bonus.
At the Hooters, man. Well, as soon as the weigh-ins are done, man, you got beautiful women, chicken wings, and beer right there. So
exactly. Like, I can't do the beer until after the fight's over. So I overdo the beer. It happens.
Right. I hear you, man. It's too delicious. Once you hit one, you can't stop there. You want a few more.
Especially you coming off a week. I mean, I cut from about 192 pounds to make 170. So and I try to do that within a week to have the most muscle mass I can have at the weight class. So it's an ordeal. And you know, at one point I was fighting monthly when I was younger, and so I had to do a big weight cut like that every month. And I just I realized that I was irritable, moody, whiny 1 week out of every month. And turns out I'm a woman.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
Well, it's just, I mean, clearly a weight cut is a male equivalent of PMSing. my former teammate was actually female, had a weight cut during her period, and nobody sparred her. Nobody. It was ugly.
Wow, man, never a dull moment with you, Bobby. So let's talk about this upcoming fight, man. You got a big fight this weekend at Fighter Soul Promotions, Fear No Battle 2 out in Panama City Beach. How'd you get hooked up with that fight, and what's your thoughts on it?
Well, actually, when I first started fighting in Georgia, when I came off of my MMA hiatus, first promotion I fought for was matched up by Richard Cox. I fought for Brett out at Fighter Soul Promotions, and they treated us so well. Man, it was the best thing the best promotion I'd ever fought for. They ended up getting a sponsorship out of it, Split Lip Fightwear, also owned by Brett of Fighter Soul Promotion. I fought Cedric Johnson last time. This time I'm fighting Kenny Alicia. Really excited about it. I'm actually coming off a loss in Alabama, bringing my record to 10-3, but I'm coming out here to redeem myself and, you know, show out.
Right on, man. So now this is you got the co-main event. Is it a title fight or no?
I don't believe it's a title fight, and at this point in my amateur career, I don't really care. My amateur career is coming to a close pretty soon, so I got to get the correct number of fights because, like I think I've mentioned before, I had some issues with commissioning, and so I needed four sanctioned fights. And this is actually the last one I need, and I'm not declaring that I'll go pro. I actually have a huge decision to make, and I'll definitely be back with the decision I make. Some big news.
Right on, man. Now listen, don't get me wrong here. But has anybody ever told you that you got a beautiful smile?
You know what? Everyone since childhood has told me I have a beautiful smile, and I didn't believe it at first. But you, sir, just made my day.
Well, I'm looking at this fight poster here, man, and all these guys look mad. They look pissed off, and there's there's Bobby Tucker right in the middle of it. He's smiling like he just got he was just given a candy store or something.
Yeah, you know, I probably mention this every time I talk to you guys. That's the biggest thing that bothers me about fighters, especially amateur fighters. It's that tough guy look, you know. Every fighter is a tough guy, and I don't agree with that. I don't think you have to be a tough guy to excel in a sport. So while everybody else is, you know, mean mugging so that their opponent won't think they're soft, I'm that big yellow face in the middle of there with a smile trying to shine through.
That's epic, man. Now, what's the game plan for this fight, man? Are you just coming out front kicking and going home, or have you been working a little bit more of a game plan? What's your idea going into this fight?
Well, I'm coming to this one. You know, I always try to start out with an aggressive move to really set the pace for what the fight's going to be or what I want it to be. Lately, it's been the front kick. I've came real partial to that, but I think enough people have seen it. It's time to switch it up and then just set the pace. I think my biggest mistake in my last fight was a lack of aggression. So I'm going to come out aggressive, still smart, still technical. I really want to stand. I really want to showcase my standing skills successfully. So I guess it's really just to beat him up. If his face bled, that'd be cool. If he stopped breathing, that'd suck. I don't condone murder, but I mean, I can't say I wouldn't brag about it.
Right on. Now you said after this fight you got a big decision to make. You know that your amateur career is coming to a close soon. You're not sure what the next step is right now, but are you looking, whether it be another amateur fight or maybe a pro fight, how long down the line are you looking before we can see you back in Tampa Bay? Because you really lit it up when you came down here and excited the crowd in Tampa Bay, and I think the Tampa Bay MMA fans want to see a little bit of Bad Mother Tucker again.
Well, you know what? I really enjoyed Tampa. I enjoyed the dynamics of Tampa. I think there was a lot of people I ran into that I really didn't like, and then there was a lot of people that I ran into that were exactly what this sport needs. I mean, people I talk to every day now, that I talk to Daniel Blevins maybe three times a week, you know, and it's funny because obviously he's with Cheyenne's team, and you know, and we understand the animosity that was between Cheyenne's team and my team, but it really, I mean, these people are good quality people, and I would love to come back. And It may be another WCFL show. I would like to do that. They're just depending on some of these decisions I make. But either way, I'm coming out that way, even just to watch fights, just for photo shoots, just to see what you guys got going on when I can get some time, you know.
Awesome, dude. Awesome, dude. Man, so what are you doing outside of fight? You know, you getting any time off, getting to relax at all? I mean, I know you got to fight this weekend, but Since your last fight, did you get any time to kind of sit back and relax before you got back in the gym, or do you just kind of go right back to work?
I mean, I really didn't have much time. You know, it was like a 3.5-week period. I kind of had a healing process, but it's constant movement, constant back in the gym. I'm actually a licensed CPT, a certified personal trainer, so I do a lot of my lifting in the gym. I have personal training clients, plus, you know, I got the full-time job working sales in the gym, plus there's the training for the fights, there's business ventures that I'm looking at for myself. I'm looking to open a personal training studio sometime within the next year or two, and then there's the sponsorships for the fights, and all kinds of different things like that I'm trying to touch all at once, and, you know, not have my head explode, so I'm just busy. I'm always busy. I mean, and the way I look at it is, if I work hard enough and I just grind it out, then I'll be successful in the long run.
Right on, man. So, do you do a lot of watching MMA? You watch like Bellator, UFC, any of that stuff?
Yo, did you see the Bellator show? That last Bellator show, it was so nasty. I was up to like midnight watching it. But I definitely do a lot of professional MMA watching, you know. And the reason I do that is, I think I see a lot of fighters, a lot of amateur fighters, and even some younger pro fighters that have a mentality of they still, you know, they're in the sport and they look at they idolize these guys. They're huge fans. And me, and I feel the same way, you know, I mean, I idolize these guys. I'm huge fans too, but my goal isn't to be as good as them one day. My goal isn't to be as glorious as them one day. My goal is to be better. So I watch it. I'm scouting, you know. I'm taking notes when I'm watching, taking notes to adapt my game better for me. You know, obviously, you take from the greats. And at the same time, I want to beat some of these guys up one day. You know, I would love to make it before GSP's retirement. And I'm not saying I'm as talented as GSP, but I'll get there. So that's what I'm looking at. That's why I watch fighting.
Is 170 where you want to stay, where you want to fight at when you turn professional and from here on out in your career?
Well, yo, I'm 22 and men grow to like 25, and 170 is an ugly cut for me as it is. So I am looking to stay at 170, but who knows what the next few years will have in play, you know. I mean, anything could happen, and weight cuts could just get harder. I might just grow in another half inch, you know. So I think that 170 is my goal weight to stay at, but who knows, sometime in the future I might be 185. I'll never be 155 again, though.
Yeah. Now, what's your viewpoints on weight cut? Because, I mean, you got a guy like, we had Eric Reynolds from the XSC on earlier, and he cuts about 5-10 pounds. He doesn't cut much at all. And then you've got, you know, I've seen guys cut 30, 40. You cut about 15, 20, I guess, from what you were saying. What's your viewpoint on weight cuts, and, like, what would you say is excessive weight cut? What should be, like, the limit?
I think it's case-by-case basis, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with. If you feel comfortable with how you move, how you feel, and the size difference between you and another guy, then definitely by all means, don't cut weight. I mean, it sucks. It hurts. I believe that, you know, if I could fight at 185 and have 10% body fat, or fight at 170 and have 4% body fat, you know, where am I bigger? So I believe in weight cutting. You know, if for nothing else than to keep up with the curve. And I think that's all part of the game. I mean, the mental stuff, the talking I do is part of the game, the weight cut is part of the game, just for the size advantage and the, as well as the skill set in training. But as far as the what is an excessive weight cut, I think any weight cut that is diminishing what you work for. If you're cutting deep into your muscle, if you're hurting your cardio, you know, 35-pound weight cuts, that's gross. You know, it doesn't need to happen. And that's – it defeats the purpose of what you work for. You know, how many hours did you spend in the gym running? How many hours did you spend lifting weights to get that all cut into because you wanted to fight at 145 when you walk around at 170, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right on, man. I agree. Now, what are you gonna do? You know, after the fight Saturday night, what are the plans?
After the fight Saturday night, what are the plans? Woo. I'm gonna get inebriated. I mean, probably not. I don't know how inebriated. I have a reputation of getting too inebriated, so I'm gonna get just before too inebriated. Like, I threw up, but I threw up in the toilet this time, so it's good.
where'd you throw up last time?
I'll tell you when I find it.
Okay, I guess that is the definition of too inebriated then. Oh, Bobby, it's never a dull moment with you, sir. All right, man, listen up, dude. Thanks for joining us, man. It's always a pleasure, and you're always welcome on here, bro. Best of luck to you.
Thanks,
Saturday
man,
night. I'll be looking forward to getting the results. Richard Cox is going to make sure I get the results for that. I believe he's actually going to be there in person for that event. So do work, man. I know you're going to go out and put on a good show for those fans, and people are not even going to know what happened. They're going to be, you're going to come out like lightning. So best of luck to you, man. Where can people find you on social media, and what sponsors would you like to give shout-outs to?
Like me on Facebook.com/BadMotherTucker. Mother spelled M-O-T-H-A. On Instagram, at BobbyBMT. And I definitely want to give a huge shout-out to Split Lip Fightwear. I mean, they've put clothes on me, have they helped me, you know, market myself, but just the fight opportunities they found me. These guys are calling me every week, just, hey, Bobby, can you fight out here? And, you know, and that's fantastic. I want to give a shout-out to the staff over at Battleground, my teammates over at Battleground, just overall, just everybody, you know, and my family, you know, all the close people to me, my girl Cassandra. I mean, everything that is bringing me together now, and you know, and especially the sponsors, Split Lip Fightwear being the number one. I got Beats Fightwear and some other stuff, but I think I appreciate them, and I want to let them know that this is just an initial investment into what is to be a conglomerate. That's all I really got to say. Thank you guys for having me on again.
Hey, you got it, Bobby. Like I said, man, anytime you're welcome back. Keep me up to date with what you got going on, man, and best of luck to you. I'm looking forward to seeing you get a good win Saturday night.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, man. Take it easy, bro.
Is there...
Yo, what? Not, like I said, never a dull moment with that guy. I'm like losing my voice from laughing over here. This guy's quick with the words. He's quick with the jokes, man. He's a funny dude, and he's a hell of a fighter too. So I excited. I wish I was getting to see him fight, but hopefully there will be some good video of it. It'll end up on YouTube pretty quick. And you know, as I said to him, man, he is welcome on here anytime, man. We love having Bobby Tucker on here.
Oh man, yeah, he's hilarious. He's always great to have on. That opening though, when he first came
I wonder
on,
what was,
cracking up, I could not stop laughing.
I'd like to hear like a female's point of view on that. Like, like somebody posted on the status and said, how wouldn't the male equivalent of cutting weight be the female cutting weight? But I think what Bobby said was pretty freaking hilarious, man. He says he feels like a woman because of how moody and emotional he is. From cutting weight and stuff. That's just funny crap.
I'm going to make a bold prediction since you made one about one of the fighters down your area. I'm going to say he's going to become an author for a joke book. I don't know where he comes up with this stuff.
And is that on the, are you saying he doesn't have a future in MMA, or is he doing these both at the same time?
No, he can do both at the same time. I think he's hilarious.
What do you think about this? I just came across this. Shoot, I lost it. Dana White says he's not interested in Ben Askren. Do you buy that?
Oh, man, I was just reading it earlier. It's one of the things I wanted to talk about before we wrap it up here in a little while. But, yeah, if you don't know, Ben Askren was cut from Bellator earlier today. I believe it was this morning or last night. Finally released from Bellator. Obviously, they're going to have a new champion at welterweight. I was thinking immediately that the UFC would sign him within the next week. I was expecting him maybe one fight title shot or direct title shot, and then Dana White publicly says they're not interested in him. I think it's a lie. I'm going to call BS on it.
Just like women will never fight in the UFC?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he goes back on his word all the time.
He's Dana White,
I think it's wild. I think Ben Askren will fight in another one of those wrestling events, Agon. I think he'll stay occupied with training like he has been, and I think Dana White will change his mind because I think the fans are going to demand it, and I think Dana White's going to have dollar signs in his eyes.
What was I going to say? We got about, let's see, we're going to wrap up about 11:30 tonight. Let's spend the last few minutes talking about Well, did you get a chance to watch the Fighting for a Generation documentary by the UFC this past week?
I did not. I have it recorded. Matthew, you know I love my DVR. Matthew always texts me saying, are you watching this event? Are you watching Bellator? Are you watching World Series of Fighting?
Well, here's the thing. I don't even respond to you
until later when I'm watching.
There you go. I was just going to say that. I said, you know what? You can't say, obviously, before you even go any further with that, you don't even respond to my text messages. I send you these, like, late-night MMA booty calls and just nothing, man. No response, nothing. And I was like, you know what? Forget Spencer. I'm done with this guy. I'm moving on. So now I'm bothering Kari, man. I'm like messaging Kari. Like, Spencer's pissing me off, Kari. I feel like a neglected girlfriend, man.
Matthew's luring me in.
He's sending
me texts saying, Spencer, World Series of Fighting, there's a crazy knockout, come look at it, and he's trying to lure me in, and I'm just not having it. I'll watch it later on my DVR, man.
Oh, man. I'm just so disappointed in you all the time. I don't know what to say.
Oh, well, I'm guessing you're just going to have to look at it.
let me say this. I'll keep it quick since you didn't get a chance to watch it. It was amazing. Absolutely phenomenal documentary that I learned some things. I knew a lot about the history of the UFC, how it was founded, because I've looked into it, because of Jorge and Gracie and the fact that I'm a Gracie junkie. I spent a solid year researching everything I could find about the Gracies, because I was putting together an article, or actually more than an article, a story that I wanted to write, and I put a lot of time and a lot of research and study into it before I wrote it. And so I'm not going to say I'm like this genius on the Gracie family, but I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable on the Gracie family. And so I really enjoyed the fact that they did incorporate, and it went beyond them just saying, oh, well, Jorge and Gracie founded the UFC. It was like background into their family and into more of the other parts of the family and stuff. And it was just absolutely just phenomenal. So I thought it was phenomenal. We'll talk about that. We'll say that because you haven't seen it. Because I do want to be able to, talk about it and really go into it. So we'll save that. You got some stuff you want to talk about, so let me go ahead and hand it over to you, and you can talk about some events we got going on this weekend around MMA.
Yes, we'll talk about that next week, so stay tuned for that. Starting off the weekend, we have a total of four.
Also, hold up a second. Next week, we will officially announce where Pablo Diablo came from. I'm saying it right here. If it doesn't happen, you just look like a pussy. I'm saying, it's already been put out there. I'm not waiting 4 years for Glover Teixeira and John Jones to fight.
It's not my fault that John Jones is scared to fight Teixeira. We are waiting until then.
I love that you said that. All right, go ahead. All right, go ahead. I'm done. I'm shutting up.
All right, 1FC. This is opening off a great weekend of MMA, not just down in Florida for Matthew, not just locally. Professional fights in 1FC, Bellator, Legacy FC, and the UFC, but 1FC 12 is kicking it off at 8 a.m. We're only a few hours away from it. And headlining that is Adriano. I'm going to butcher these names. I'm sorry, folks. Moraes and Yusup Sadaleyev. I don't know. There's a lot of A's. There's a lot of U's in that. But 1FC 12, I may not be able to pronounce the names, but they do have a pretty good card. Not as good as the past ones. They had some injuries. But that starts tomorrow. The prelims at 7 a.m., the main card at 8 a.m., and then, of course, tomorrow night, Bellator 108, Joey Beltran versus Quentin Jackson, Alexander Volkov versus Vitaly Minnikov, Patricio Ferrer versus Justin Wilcox. That's Bellator 108, as always, 9 a.m. PM on Spike TV, and then Legacy FC 25 finishes out Friday night with Jorge Patino versus Carlos Diego Ferreira, and that's for the lightweight title. Also on the card is Henry Cejudo. I believe he's still undefeated. Artemius Young's also on the card, and then, of course, UFC finishes off the weekend Saturday night, UFC 167 St. Pierre versus Hendricks. That's my rundown for the major events going on this weekend,
You just turned our show into Pablo Diablo's five-round review is what's happening here. That's
it's not
cool,
a review.
Man.
Well, it's not a review if it hasn't happened yet.
Well, it's the Pablo Diablo's 5-round preview then. That's not
you
cool,
have,
man.
You have never said this every single time I've done this, week in and week out. This is the first time you're saying this. How dare you?
Well, I'm sick of you stealing the show. This isn't about you, man. This is about Cage Zombies Radio. Haven't you listened to my radio shows in the past, man? The show's about me. This is
my
time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just playing. No, listen, on that, as far as that 1FC card goes, man, big shout-out Tony Johnson Jr. I hope he does work and puts on a great fight, man. We interviewed Tony Johnson way back. Me and Jason did one of our first episodes of Full Guard Fight Radio, man. We're a cool guy, really awesome guy, and hoping to see him get a big win out there in 1FC tomorrow. So, anyway, so best of luck to him. But, yeah, man, I think that's about it for us tonight. We're going to wrap up a little early. Want to try and get to bed. I get to sleep in tomorrow, and by sleep in, I think I don't have to wake up till 9. I've been waking up at 6 all week, so looking forward to getting a couple extra hours of sleep and possibly not being a real-life zombie tomorrow. I love being a cage zombie, but being a zombie in real life kind of makes it hard to get through stuff. So
yeah, Matthew and I have been trying to live out Cage Zombies Radio this week. It's been our goal, but
yeah.
We're finally done. We can enjoy a great week of weekend of MMA. As for me, I'll be watching on TV. As for Matthew, he'll be teleporting from one end of Florida to the other.
Something like that. So yeah, man, just get out, support local MMA. You know, I've been bragging, we've been bragging all week that, you know, and really pushing people to vote for MMA Madhouse for this award show down here in Florida, the Florida MMA Awards. And you know, winning isn't the important thing. What's important was being nominated. What's important is knowing that we're doing the right thing and that we're being noticed for it. Because all of our goals here, MMA Madhouse exists solely for the purpose of supporting MMA in all levels of MMA, not just giving the guys on TV and the big-time guys time to, you know, exposure and interviews and letting people know who they are, but the amateurs, the local guys, Bobby Tucker, Dervin Lopez, Delaney Owen, Cheyenne Velismus, Amber Stotzenberger, these fighters who, younger people in the sport, people who are up and coming, it's to let every level of MMA know that there is somebody out there who cares about you, who wants to make sure you get exposure and make sure that you get the proper respect that you deserve. And that's why MMA Madhouse exists. Carl Morrison has created one hell of an amazing vision here, and it's just awesome to see that vision in action with a great team such as yourself, Chris Gregory, who's branched off and doing MMA topics as well as Madhouse, and just to see that growth and expansion, Skippy Lapati, Caitlin Carey, the Sea Monster. I can't wait. Let me tell you all real quick. I can't wait to see the Sea Monster get back in the cage, man. This guy is just nasty, and he's coming off of a real long recuperation here. You know what? We're going to have to get him back on the show here soon. I'm going to talk to him this week and see if we can't get him on the show maybe next week. But the Sea Monster, man, when just Devin Asher, just, you know, a great team of guys. You know, Jason London, my boy, you know, Mr. Full Guard Fight Gear. This is a team that Carl's put together, which he's put together just on faith, man. He knew nothing about me when I joined Madhouse, and he gave me a shot, and I just, you know, it's just a phenomenal thing that we've got here with MMA Madhouse. I'm excited for this award show. I've been doing nothing but talking about it all week, and you know, like I said, winning is not the important thing. Being recognized and knowing that people say, you know what, you're doing a good job, that's what's important to me, because That's all I'm trying to do here in Florida. I know that's all Carl asks, is that, you know what, do a good job and just support local MMA. And I like to believe that I do more than just say I support local MMA. I really like to believe that I live it out. And that's all that matters, man. That's what we're all about here. And I guess that's my spiel. That's my ending rant for the night, is that I'm awesome. No, I'm just kidding. MMA Madhouse is awesome. We got a great team here, and I'm just proud to be a part of it. So. That's it for me this week. That's all I got. You can find me at J23Journalistic on Twitter. Hit me up, follow me. I'm pretty cool. And my co-host here has just a super long name, which is just ridiculous since he won't tell anybody what it is. So I just don't even care about his Twitter anymore.
Oh, yeah. At Pablo _ L _ Diablo. In the words of Cody McKenzie, I have a Twitter. Hit it up. Live long and prosper. That's all I got.
Live long and prosper. Resistance is futile. I love it, sir. I love it, man. That might be the coolest thing you've ever said, dude. Dropping a Star Trek reference here on the show. Love it. All right. I think that's it, right? Support Local MMA, Team Madhouse, MMAMadhouse.com. Check it out. Let's get that outro rolling with that five-horse frenzy or Family Force 5 or whatever the hell they're called. We'll be back next Thursday. This is it for Cage Zombies Radio. Remember, be a cage zombie, not a super zombie. Peace out.
Importante.